Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
And my name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched The Man from Nowhere.
The Man from Now Here.
Yeah. It's a wordplay.
너 정체가 뭐냐? 아니, 정계 인사도 아니고 락거로놈 민간인 내 평생 처음 본다.
Seaman from Now Here.
Perfect.
Yeah, nailed it. This is quality content.
We're like poets, Tom.
You know what? I've always said that. I've been saying that basically all we've been doing here is just writing poetry.
Yeah, we're like word poets. We're like mm-hmm. we're like spoken word poets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We nailed this. This is all right, wait. This is so you noted to me there's several men from nowhere.
There are a few, yeah.
This is from South Korea. It's, what is it, 2010?
2010.
So, for people wondering, this is a South Korean 2010 film that's currently free on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
This is also Thursday. This is a We Just Watched Classic, which means it's brought to you by one of our patrons, specifically Vivian. Thank you, Vivian.
Hey, thanks, Vivian.
Thank you for bringing this to us.
And
forcing us to watch a movie. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I love to have what little free time I have dictated how
yes.
I spend it.
Me too. It's like a fetish of mine.
It really is yeah. Because, you know, otherwise I'll just stand in one place and stare at a corner for hours.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to do unless I'm told.
It's so much easier.
I have to follow directions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at this point, I mean, Jesus, I can't do anything without fucking someone telling me. You know, I text you. You know how I text you like once a day and say, can I poop, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I let you decide.
Yeah. You know, I check the schedule. And I see how long it's been. I make sure you're not like trying to crowd too many poops into one day.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Getting those good old poops in.
You got to space them out.
Yeah. You got to space them out. If you don't space them out, you get used to it and you poop all the time.
Yeah, and you can't do that, not in civilized society.
No, absolutely not.
No, restraint is the word of the day.
Mm-hmm. Tom.
Yes.
How did you like The Man from Nowhere?
I quite enjoyed it.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's a pretty
classic, not revenge movie, but
it's
like...
It's a Taken.
Yeah, it's a Taken. It's a vigilante justice movie.
Yeah, it's a... We bad guys. Oh, you don't know who you messed with. You messed with a real fucked up badass individual.
I was sort of surprised by that. Like, I didn't expect him to be a badass, and then he just was.
He super was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say this is middle of the road, because I feel like it's better than that. Plot wise, it's very by the book. Sort of,
yes,
actually.
Yeah. There's a couple of fun elements that are unique, but
yes. It's a guy whose neighbor is a woman and a little girl. And the woman is I believe, heroin addict.
Yes.
She's a junkie, and the little girl is just adorable. And he has a friendship with the little girl.
Kind of. He tolerates the little girl.
Yes.
He runs a pawn shop out of his apartment. And she just wanders over because she's frequently left on her own because her mom goes out and she like dances at a nightclub and she's running around with this no account, no good guy. And then she's also getting high all the time. So she's frequently just by herself. So she will just wander over there and bother him. And he just kind of allows it. He's not particularly nice to her.
No, he's like, it's like Big Brother where it's like he doesn't treat her like shit. But yeah, he's just sort of like, this kid.
Yeah, yeah. He really just kind of allows her to be there and doesn't really say anything to her.
And so the mother gets involved with some drug dealers who end up kidnapping her and kidnapping the little girl.
Yes, because she steals, she and her shitty boyfriend steal a bunch of heroin from them.
Yes. And so that kind of sets it off. And so the neighbor, our main character, the pawn shop guy, is just kind of in just gets involved because he's there and he likes the kid enough. And so it turns into a Taken style rampage.
It's a full-on rampage.
Yeah, while the cops are trying to figure it out, he gets implicated in some crimes. What happens is the mother ends up dead. We learn that these bad guys love to harvest organs.
It's two teams of bad. Listen, guys, this is some Shakespearean shit. All right, there's levels. there's paths and tunnels and levels to this conspiracy. So there's two teams of bad guys. They're the Koreans. It takes place in South Korea, I assume.
Yeah.
So there's the Koreans who are the drug runners and shit, and they were using these two Chinese brothers to help them move drugs, and the Chinese brothers are the guys that are the organ harvesters.
I'm glad you kept track of that. That was my, it's not really a it wasn't a problem. It proved not to be a problem, but like for the first maybe 20 minutes of this movie, I was doing something with my hands. I was doing like a physical thing, like folding laundry type stuff.
Oh, you can't do that with a subtitled film.
Yes, exactly. So. And so I got a little lost at first, but only in terms of like what are these bad guys? It proved to not matter because the rampage was so awesome that it was just like, okay, so kill everybody.
Yeah.
Got it.
So the Korean crime boss is like super pissed at these two brothers for getting his heroin stolen. So he's like, you better get it back or else you guys are going to be dead. And so that's when they figure out who took it. They go to the woman's apartment and it's a pretty grim torture scene where one of the brothers is burning her legs with a hairdryer.
Yeah. I don't even know. It felt like, so growing up, my dad owned a framing shop. So he would often like laminate.
Mm-hmm.
Prints and stuff like that, and it looked like a laminator, which tend to be more hot, but it might have been a blow dryer. That thing at the end was like, it was like a, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
It was metal tipped, I guess.
If it was a laminator, it'd be even more fierce, but we're dealing with like another country where maybe the appliances look different. But yeah, he's burning her legs, and the henchman was nice enough to cover the child's face while it's happening.
Yeah, we got to talk about this one henchman.
Yes, I really liked what they did with him.
Yeah, I forget it. It was like Ramawan or something. He was clearly like Indonesian.
Right, and he's like a real maniac, but they do a really good job. See, you haven't seen Revolver. Revolver, Mark Strong plays like a henchman who has a turn, a moral turn. And it kind of reminded me of that because... But not as much because this henchman, spoilers, has sort of a moral turn, but not actually. Not a super moral turn.
Not a full one. He has there's a specific line he doesn't want to cross.
Exactly. And I really appreciated the way they did that because usually when they have a turn like that, it always ends with like the good guy and the henchman like parting ways and like nodding respectfully at each other. That's not what happens at all. It's a little bit
of what happens because he could just shoot him and he doesn't.
That's true. But it is still like it has nothing to do with the good guy. It just happens to do with this guy's like, no, I'm not doing that shit to kids.
Right. He doesn't want to. I mean, we'll basically he's like the right hand man of the two Chinese brothers. And he does some heinous shit. Like, he has no problem killing everybody.
Oh yeah.
But they eventually tell him to take the captive little girl to this crime doctor that they have, and he's going to harvest all of her organs. And we learn that they do this while the people are alive because they're heinous.
Yeah.
I mean, she's knocked out on laughing gas, but he's still about to carve her eyes out with a scalpel and shit. And like, we see they set it up briefly with a couple of scenes where she puts a Band-Aid on a cut on his head, just sort of unprovoked. And she's like, and says like,
when do I get to see my mom?
When do I get to see my mom? And then later he takes her to see the crime doctor, and like he says, okay, we're gonna go see your mom, and he's taking her to the fucking crime doctor, and the crime doctor's like, oh yeah, you're gonna see your mom, she's right here in my hand, I cut her heart out. And then she starts freaking out and like looking at this henchman guy and being like, he's lying, right? You said you were gonna take me to see my mom. And you see his face, like he's having a hard time with this.
Yeah, and then when they're torturing the mom, he covers the girl's eyes,
Yeah,
at the time I was like, well, that's nice of this random henchman. And I didn't realize they do these, like, they don't do huge things. They do enough that you, when it comes down to we're going to cut this girl's eyes out, you sort of know, like, I don't think this guy's going to go for it.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I was like, yeah, I think I know what he's going to do, and it's not going to be that. Because they never have him, like, explain what he's done.
No.
Like, he just, it cuts, like, when the doctor's about to cut her eyes out, and there's a later scene where our main dude, pawn shop guy, has confronted all the remaining Chinese brother. He's already killed the last one. We'll get to it, but I just wanted to talk about this henchman first.
Since
we brought it up.
Well, I think he's my favorite character.
He might be. Him and the pawn shop guy.
Yeah.
He's like, where's the little girl? And he tosses the Chinese brother crime boss guy, rolls him this container that has two eyeballs in it, and he's like, yeah, we cut her apart, we cut all of her organs out, and I give my brother back. And he freaks out and kills everybody in the room, and the henchman's in the back, and they have a brief gunfight, and then they both run out of bullets, so he just starts, like, pawn shop guy just starts attacking all the remaining henchmen with his knife, and then the Indonesian henchman guy, I believe he's Indonesian, he reloads his gun and can kill the guy, but then he stops and just lets him kind of stab his way through everybody and sees what happens. And then when he walks back over to pick up the eyeballs, he shoots the eyeball case and then puts his gun down and takes out his knife. And he's like, okay, we're just going to like fight like this.
Yeah. And then they have a gnarly knife fight.
They have a fucking knife. It's around to be a little bit of the knife fight in the raid too. Not as crazy.
Yeah.
But
it's brutal because they lose all the music, so it's no music, and you can really hear the stabbing when they start making contact with each other, and like the squishing.
It's one of those things where it's like you just get like I reference the knife fight in the raid too, where you're just like tense because you're like there's about a minute of it that goes by at first where nobody's gotten cut yet, and you're just like so fucking anxious because you're like, somebody's gonna get fucking horribly cut here in a second.
Right. And they keep showing their faces are both frantic. Like they look like neither of them have control. And they keep showing POV shots. So like you feel nervous for them where you're like, God, watch it.
Yeah, it's so disorienting.
Yeah. And then when they start slicing, like, blood will hit the camera and the POV shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, at this point, what was interesting is because probably you felt the same way. When they first presented the eyes, I was like, those aren't her eyes.
No, like I immediately assumed. I was like, oh, he killed the crime doctor.
Yeah.
He pulled a huntsman from Snow White.
Oh yeah, he huntsman the shit out of them.
Yeah, he cut that dude's eyes out.
But then because it's like you thinking of, like, personally I was thinking of all the clichés, so I thought, okay, that's not the eyes, so he's going to turn and be good. And that's not what happens. They start fighting. It's because the henchman again, he's like, I'm not killing kids, but I'm still going to do my job.
Right, but he does give a little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't shoot the guy. He's like, well, this dude clearly gave a shit enough, and he's clearly, like, so I respect him enough that I'll at least kill him with my knife.
But when he doesn't have that turn, it gave me enough to be like, wait, those weren't her eyes, right? They're not going to be that grim. But it faked me out a little bit, because I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not her eyes, but now he's still fighting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, fuck. And then when they got to the parking lot and that the ambulance was there, it was like, oh, okay, they're here. Well, just to reveal that she's...
They show a quick shot of the doors thumping, like somebody's kicking them from the inside.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really great, like, journey for that henchman.
It's a nice little character arc for this crazed, murderous henchman.
Yeah. So this is going all the way back. So they're torturing the mom and he's covering the eyes. So again, he's not that good. But he's good enough he's like, I'm going to cover this little girl's eyes while her mom's being tortured.
Yeah, he has a specific line of horribleness. He's only willing to be so horrible.
Yeah. And there's there's an amount of politeness in general. When the main character walks into that apartment, like, he snatches the knife from one guy.
And throws it in the sink.
Yeah, and everybody kind of stops. And they're like, okay, let's figure this out. Like, I like how, with the moment he proves to be badass, they're like, okay, we need to stop for a second.
Yeah, it's, oh, we got to reevaluate this. And then the one big guy who we saw, his name's Bear. Right. Or the Bear. We saw him earlier beat the hell out of, like, five cops when they try to do a sting in the beginning to catch the heroin deal that the girl's mom ends up stealing the heroin from.
Right.
So we see him, like, move toward pawn shop guy, and then it cuts to outside, and, like, the window, like, it's a barred window, but you see the glass just shatter around it, and the bars give a little bit. So you're not quite sure what's happened, because we don't really know that he's a badass yet. All we've seen is that he snatched the knife away from the guy, which was jarring. Like, it was jarring enough that the two bad guys were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, again, I really appreciate how the bad guys were thinking, they were working smart. They were just like, okay, hold on, everybody.
All right, hold on. We got to regroup.
The quiet guy just did something wicked bad at. It's like the fucking, it's like the Simpsons episode where the Yakuza is like,
you know, that guy's going to do something, and when he does, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
He hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So it cuts back to the inside of the apartment, and Bear is just face down on the ground, unconscious.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know what's happened.
We just know it was just real. It's real brutal.
Yeah. And then later on, like in that final scene we just mentioned, when he shows up and they toss him the fake eyes, he pulls out a gun and starts shooting everybody, and, like, the crime boss freaks out and runs away. And in the next scene, like, we see him, like, loading money in from his safe with his last remaining henchman to, like, get down to the car. And he's like, where the fuck did he get a gun? Is he a cop?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's, you know, we're so used to it in, like, you know, in American movies, everybody has a gun. But, like, it's harder to get them.
Right. I thought of that in these scenes, because that also plays to why they all stopped and were, like, more polite. Because it felt like, I, like, wrote at one point in my notes, like, this would be a lot easier if people had guns.
Yeah.
Because it seems like people have to, like, talk it out more. Like, there's actually, like, if a guy's, like, badass, they're like, okay, everybody stop. Like, none of us has guns, so this guy could conceivably just kick all our asses.
Right, or maybe he's going to pull out, like, a hatchet or something.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't know
exactly
what's going on. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they leave the phone for him. And
they set him up to bring drugs to the Korean crime boss, although he's expecting like a Chinese tutor, like he's getting tutored in Chinese. He doesn't expect a drug delivery to be made, because they're setting him up, because they're pissed. They're like, oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. They're basically like, if you want to see the woman and her child again, you got to do this stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they send him on this errand, and then shit gets...
Yeah, they send him. They send him on the errand. Yeah, they send him on the errand, and then call the police because they want to bring down the. They're trying to take out the Korean boss because they're pissed at him. They're like, oh, he's trying to take our business, and he threatened to kill us. So fuck him. We'll just get him arrested, and then screw this guy. Who? What do we care about? Pawn shop guy.
Right.
Just let him be the bag man and get busted too.
And so he gets out of there.
Really awesomely.
Really awesomely.
Like they throw him out the window, and it's above a parking lot, but it's the parking lot of a driving range. So it's got that big net over it. So he falls all this way in this slow motion shot and lands on this net that covers up the parking lot so the cars don't get hit by golf balls. And it's just a cool shot.
That was really cool. There's a cool shot
awesome
later when he jumps out the fucking window. And the camera follows him out.
Oh, yeah!
Like, there was probably a cut there, but it looked really good.
It was well done. Yeah, it had to be a visual effect. But yeah, the camera just follows him behind him as he just jumps straight out the window.
And then takes a cab, which I thought was funny because the cab clearly must have saw that.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to that guy.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the cab driver saw that guy jump out and he was like, that looks like a guy who needs a cab.
Yeah. Either that, or he's like, please don't ask for a cab.
Yeah.
Please don't ask for a cab. I gotta drive him, or else he's gonna jump through my window.
Can you imagine the quiet drive, and then the cab like, so, couldn't help but notice you jump out of a window before. What's that about?
What's the story there?
Yeah, that was like a third floor window.
Yeah, and you just
are you okay?
Landed.
Are we going to the hospital right now?
You landed like a tumbler.
Yeah, you landed like a man who has jumped out many a window.
Yeah.
So what's that about?
My brother jumped out of a window once, but he didn't land like that.
He looked like an asshole. Yeah.
He's got two. He's walking around with two cadaver knees now.
So this brings. He gets in the car, and there's a car chase, brief car chase.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a brutal ending, and it was a good fucking twist. It's basically the cops. The bad guys call the cops, right?
Yeah, the two,
just set everybody
the two
up.
Chinese brothers called the cops to because they're trying to take out the Korean boss. They don't like
him. Yeah, basically he smashes into the other boss guy.
Yeah, the Korean boss. He's trying to get away.
And then he gets out of the car, and I believe the cops are coming, but they're not there yet.
The cops are coming. They're like inside the building, and they're stuck at the door trying to get out into the parking lot.
And he looks in the trunk, and they do such a good job at this because he just freezes.
Yeah.
When he sees in the trunk, and then the cops rush, and then they all freeze as well. Everybody in horror.
But like slow, it's like one by one. Like he's sitting there frozen, looking off camera, and then you see the cops around him, and they're like you know, grabbing him and taking him into custody, and like one by one, each cop like looks over, and they all freeze, and it's so well done.
Yeah, it is. And the reveal is that in the trunk is the body of the mother that was planted there, with her body just sewn up. Like, she looks like she's been through an autopsy.
Yeah, she's got the autopsy scar.
Yeah, and then it just fades out. And it was like, oh, shit. And I had that moment where they pan with the shot of her, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, there better not be the kid next to her.
That would have been dark.
Yeah, but, like, the moment they showed her, it was dark, because, like...
It was dark anyway.
Yeah, because she... They do something at the beginning where she accuses him of molesting her kid,
mm-hmm.
and then hits on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's weird. But I thought they were setting up like a romance or something. And this movie did a really good job at like just kind of making these devastating moments where, and I'm like, it's South Korean, which the only other like big movie I remember out of there is Old Boy. So it was just like, man, I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. Like, I don't trust anything. So when they showed her body, it was just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, the kid could be sewn up in there for all I know. Yeah. I don't fucking know. I don't know what's gonna happen here.
I don't know what horrible direction this is gonna go. Especially since, again, it's these completely different writers and directors.
Different movie from Old Boy.
Yes. But Old Boy is also a revenge, I'm going to hunt you film that was subverted.
True, yeah.
And so that I think that's why it was on my mind, because every time, because they were kind of showing, like, the part that we've already talked about at the end where they're like, cut out the girl's eyes.
Yeah.
Had that henchman not been, you know, the person he was, they would have just done that. And it's kind of a lesson there, because it basically means that this guy's like rampage for revenge would have cost that little girl her eyes.
Yes.
Like, and that's sort of like how Old Boy functions, where it's like, oh, look at this cool rampage. And it's like, it turns out it's just going to compound the violence and just get worse and worse. This is kind of not the way to do this. And that's almost what they were doing here. Because that is a consequence of what he's doing.
Yeah.
He kills the brother out of revenge, and they say, like, if you kill him, you know, I'm cutting up this little girl, and he does it anyway.
Yeah, well, they kill her. They think they kill her anyway before they know what's happened to the brother.
Yeah.
So everybody's a fucking monster.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so he gets arrested. This is like, I don't know, midpoint of the movie, maybe earlier.
Yeah, there's a good moment here where there was a Chinese tutor there with him and the Korean crime boss when he was going there under the pretense that the boss was going to be practicing his Chinese. So this guy, this tutor guy, doesn't know what the fuck is going on. Like, he's just sitting there like, and then the cop that's interrogating him is trying to get answers out of him, and he's just spaced out because of, you know, what he saw was so horrible, and he doesn't know where the little girl is, and the last interaction he had with the little girl was kind of shitty. Like, she was getting busted by the cops for stealing a bag, and she pointed at him to be like, well, he's my dad, you should talk to him, because they're like, well, we need an adult to clear this up.
It's a dick move.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, because the cops are like, we need an adult to get this sorted out, and she points at him. It's like, he's my dad, and he fucking runs off.
Yeah, which all right. On one hand, dick mood. On the other hand, I would have done the same. It's like, don't involve me in your shit, kid.
Yeah,
I don't know you, but you know.
So he's just sitting there feeling like total shit.
Yeah.
And then they bring them some food.
Oh yeah,
and he sets like the trays. The detective sets the trays down in front of both of them, and pawn shop guy looks up and he's like, "I'm left-handed," and the detective's like, "Ah, well, all right," and he leans down and uncuffs him, and the second he does, it cuts to a different scene.
Yes, I love how they do this. They keep doing this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or you know what's happened.
Yeah, you know that this person just made a very bad mistake. Yeah.
And then we see it later, like, it's so fun the way they show it, is we just see security camera footage of it, of him just absolutely wailing on the guy.
Yeah.
And that's like, he's beating him with the tutor and like the tutor's tray of food.
Yeah, yeah. He's getting, and then he's just having a lot of fun with it.
Beats the hell out of everyone in the police station and just leaves.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
And that's the moment the police are like, who is this guy?
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. And so we basically learn through a few scenes that he's South Korean Army Intelligence, a covert, like,
yeah,
agent, operator. And I liked how they did this, where they made him, they couldn't get the information. So they, like, what did they do from his email? They threatened the president.
They sent a death threat to the White House email to get his records unblocked.
Yeah, which was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And we have flashbacks where we find out that he was wounded in what is like classified as a car accident, but he was shot and his pregnant wife was killed. We see the flashback and boy, she gets crushed.
It's insane.
It's brutal. Yeah.
He's in there buying baby clothes because she's pregnant. And then he walks outside and he gets this phone call. We never hear what's on the other end of that phone call.
Yeah.
But he's clearly freaked out and he's looking all around like his head's on a swivel. And then this dump truck just comes sailing in and crushes right through the side of the car where she's sitting and like five other cars.
It's brutal.
And this guy walks out and just shoots him.
Yeah. Do we ever find out why? I didn't.
Yes. Yeah. They say that he was on a mission. A member of his team was selling secrets. And they successfully thwarted that guy. This was revenge for that.
Okay. That checks out.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's a fucking wild scene. And yeah, it is a big cliche. It's like, oh, it turns out he's a special forces guy. It's like, yeah, of course. His wife died, and it's like, yeah, of course.
It's all these cliches, but done in a more brutal way that we're used to, like from American films. Like her death is just like, geez, like, you know what's gonna happen, and then the movie surprises you by doing it. Like, there might as well have been a bear like ran in and killed her. Like, if it was a bear attack, like, it's just as shocking because you know it's going to happen. But then when it happens, you're like, I did not see that. I did not expect a dump truck to be involved.
Yeah.
So he gets out of jail and he goes to that nightclub, right?
Well, he goes back to find the phone that he dropped.
Right.
And then he tracks the phone to a place that sells these burner phones and beats the Christ out of them to get them to tell him who they sold the phone to. And he takes like one of their, he takes one of their, cause they're running like a loan business too. So he takes one of their loan guys with him.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, if you help me get into this, it's a nightclub where they do organ harvesting. Like, they take organ harvesting orders.
Yeah, it's, you know, nightclub / organ harvesting facility.
An organ farm.
Yeah.
So he takes him there to like so he can get inside, and then he finds, you know, it's just like a chain. Like he finds one guy that like knows the two brothers, and he's right. like and tells him, well, if the girl's still alive, the two brothers will know. So he kills that guy. And he has his first encounter with the Indonesian henchman.
Yeah, because he stabs a guy in the collarbone, which is brutal.
Yep.
And he's like trying to get information out of him, and then the Indonesian guy basically he shoots at him, and he uses him as a human shield.
Yeah.
You know.
And then they have a knife fight in the bathroom.
Right.
Which is
and
pretty
then
badass.
They leave to the nightclub, and then it's another situation where the bad guys are like, "We should just go." And yeah. they drop a phone, and they're basically just like, hey, call us.
Yeah.
We'll work this out. And I love he runs after their car with a hatchet in the middle of the road, and they drive off, and he's just standing there with a hatchet.
And then he walks toward another random guy's car who's stopped by the side of the road. And the guy turns around and sees him. He's been shot. So he sees this bloody guy with a hatchet and just immediately says, oh, shit, and runs off.
Yeah, he does what an intelligent person would do. And he's just like, nope.
Run. Yeah. You can buy a new car, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking run.
Just get out of that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So he, man, I think he goes, this is where we learn about the wife, because he goes to find like a former army guy.
Yeah, it was one of his old. It was the partner that ran the last mission with him, busting the inside guy who was selling secrets. And he fishes the bullet out, and he's like, "Give me a gun." And the guy's like, "All right."
It's a real it's a moment of rest, which these movies have, where it's like, "All right, everybody, cool down for a second."
It's a resupply sequence.
Yeah.
And the other big portion of this movie we haven't talked about yet is the what they're doing with the little girl and all these other kids that they sort of inherit from these people that they, by one way or the other, abduct and murder and harvest their organs.
Yeah,
they have... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the point where we learn about it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We've seen glimpses of it. Like, she's been stuffed in this hovel with a bunch of other kids, and we're not exactly sure if they're being held there, you know, as hostages for leverage or what's going on.
Right.
And then we find out that those hovels basically are called anthills, and the kids are ants, and they use the kids to run around the city and pick up shipments that are hidden in out of order vending machines.
Yes.
Because police don't stop kids. They don't hassle them.
It's a real Oliver Twist situation. It's pretty smart.
Very much so.
Yeah. I mean, it's smart. Use kids.
Yeah.
No one No one suspects children. Yeah, they say that it's people who like owed them money, where basically they took their kids. Whereas like people in debt to them, they're just like, it's like repossessing a car, but it's like, we're taking your kid.
What they do is they murder the people that owe them money and harvest their organs.
Right. That is
true. And then they take their kids.
That is true.
And then they also make some of them work in the drug lab. You remember that's the scene where he confronts the first brother. Who's just sitting there dicking around on his phone wearing a gas mask while all these other kids are like cooking heroin and meth and shit without masks on. And then one girl collapses.
Oh, yeah. And they were just like, get her out of here. They really make the bad guys bad.
They do.
Yeah. Like that guy, he's like in a tracksuit and he's just like such a dipshit.
Right,
all
he's
the
sitting
time.
There with his feet up, like playing on his phone while these kids are breathing in toxic fumes and dying in front of him.
All the bad guy characters, when they walk into the room when we first meet them, they're just like sneering and like smirking and like meh. And they're all rich kids, you know?
Oh, we see the one guy that he stabs in the bathroom, we see him roofie a woman.
Right,
like,
yeah.
When we introduced to him.
Yeah, they it's like classic Taken style where it's like, bad guys are, well, yes and no, because, for the most part, bad guys are just bad. They are absolutely 100% bad, but except for the one guy who's like, I'm not going to fucking kill kids, but he's the only one.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill this kid, at least.
What's the part, is it, who is the guy who is, Was it the cops? The guy who was smuggling drugs in the wheelchair?
This was an amazing scene. Yes. Yeah, it was how the cops get tipped off, because they're like, oh, well, we got to know who's running the heroin around here. We got to know where this drug money has gone. We got to know where these drugs are gone. We got to know where this kid has gone. So he comes off a plane in his wheelchair, and we see one of the cop characters we've been watching for the movie just comes sprinting up and throws a flying kick into his chest.
Yes, both of his legs leave the ground, and he just kicks.
Yeah, he gets completely airborne.
It's amazing because I wasn't, like, maybe there was a scene before explaining it, but they, like, sort of explain it as the scene progresses.
They mention that they're going to go grab this one guy that they know is a smuggler.
But the scene essentially is just man in wheelchair. Other man runs in and does a flying kick into the guy in the wheelchair. And you're just like, what?
Yeah, like a fucking missile, yeah. Like completely airborne ninja kick. Right, it's the most unexpected thing.
Yeah, this fucking Mortal Kombat kick.
Right in the goddamn chest.
Yeah, it's great.
And then they find out that, I mean, one, he's faking walking, and two, he's got like a bunch of little balls of heroin hidden in his crutch.
Right.
So, and they drag him out, and he's the one that tells them about the anthills, and then that's where the little girl is.
Got it. Right. Yeah. Before this, and there's also the scene where the good guy cuts his hair finally, which I had a love-hate thing with, because his hair, he did need a haircut. Let's face it.
Right, but his hair looked awesome and mysterious.
Yeah, that's true. But then he cuts his hair with a razor.
He trims it with a razor and then a pair of clippers, yeah.
Right, and it was like, dude, scissors, man. What are you doing? You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, fucking just a razor.
Just a little razor blade.
Yeah, but I was happy when he went to clippers. They set up the the little girl's in the ant farm, and they set up her being friends with the other kids, and one of the little girls is, they're like, it's time to go, you're gonna go see your mother now.
Yep.
And they take her out of the room, and on her way out, she shows, we didn't talk about this, the little girl, her whole thing is she does nails.
Yeah, she likes to paint little pictures on people's nails.
Yeah, and so the other girl holds up her fingers, and her nails are painted. She's like, thanks so much, and leaves. And of course, later, when they're at the drug lab. Drug lab / body harvesting place.
With douche bro in his tracksuit with his feet up playing on his phone.
Yeah, our hero basically tracked them to there. And he goes in, and he goes into their little, like, surgical area, and sure enough, he opens one of the drawers, and there's a little body in there with painted nails, and you're like, fuck, he's gonna kill all these people.
And boy, does he. Yes. I love the moment when he walks in, like, because the girl who collapsed, like, douche bro, is just like, just carry her out of there, man, kids are so dramatic. So this other guy carries her out, and we see that he's got her, he's about to inject her with something.
Right.
No clue what it is. Maybe he's knocking her out for some organ harvesting. Maybe he's just doping her up so she can go back to work. But we see that it's an over-the-shoulder shot, and we see that something has caught her eye. So the guy turns, and he sees that pawn shop man is just standing there looking at them. And he just quietly, like, waves his hand to one side to the girl. He's like, just kind of motions, here, stand to the side.
Yeah, and he just shoots him in the fucking face.
He sure does.
And then he shoots them all, and then he has the brother, and he sets up a adorable, like, a Home Alone trap.
It's a Darkman trap.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Remember?
No, I haven't seen Darkman in a bit.
Okay, well, it's similar to the Darkman trap, or to, like, what Thomas Jane does to one of the John Travolta's sons in The Punisher.
It's very Punisher. He uses a bag of heroin as a weight. And on the other end, he ties a rope to it to a lantern.
Yeah.
And then he releases gas, and then he just cuts the heroin bag so it starts draining the heroin, and therefore it's going to, you know, the lantern's going to outweigh it and fall on the ground and blow everything up. And then he sets the brother up, keeps nail gunning him in the leg.
Sure does.
Calls his brother and basically does, I'm going to fucking kill you moment. And then blows up the whole building, Which this he is does. The thing that led them to decide to cut out the girl's eyes. So again, this was ultimately a bad idea.
Yes.
He should have used him as a hostage, but he's just, I mean, I yeah. get it. He just saw them harvesting organs of little kids. Like,
yeah, he sort of lost his composure.
Yeah.
He did save a bunch of kids from that factory. From
he
that
does.
Drug lab.
Yeah. When it blows up, they like pan over to the kids. And when they did, I was like, oh, thank God. Because it was like, oh, yeah. He was so pissed. I was like, I'm not sure he remembered the kids.
Did he remember the kids were in there? It'd
be amazing if they just show him outside and it blows up and then he just goes, oh, shit, the kids.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, they're definitely on fire. They're definitely on fire.
I definitely killed like 10 kids just now.
Oh, shit, I just killed so many kids.
Yeah.
No! No!
That was the whole point of this, to not kill kids. He just has a full-blown panic attack. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Just collapses.
Oh man. We talk about killing kids a lot on this show.
We sure do.
Yeah. I mean, it comes up a lot in the movies we watch, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we've pretty much gone through the entire movie.
I know, so this, which is fun because I didn't even plan on just talking about the movie. But it's a fun movie to recount. And then there's the fight scene we talked about, which in a really cool set with the girl's eyes.
Yeah.
And then the final thing that I thought was really cool is he basically gets to the final boss, who's in his car, his rich guy car.
Mm-hmm.
And he
like real schmuck.
Yeah, and he thinks the girl is dead at this point, and he starts shooting at him. The guy's like, "Ha ha, bulletproof glass!" And so this happens a lot in this movie. Is that when I would say stuff to the screen, and then he'd do it, and I was like, "Just keep shooting it." And so he just gets down on the windshield, puts the gun directly against it, and just keeps firing until it gets the bullets go through. And he's like, "Yeah, there you go."
Yeah, it's pretty excellent.
Yeah, and then the girl proves to be alive. It's
he's about to shoot himself.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, he's just like, well, time to end this rampage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I screwed everything up.
Yep. Yeah, because he does blame himself. It is.
Yeah.
It's a dark third act. The whole point is he fucked everything up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he goes to blow his brains out, and the girl shows up, and she's like, no, it worked out. And then the cops come, and they must have so many questions.
I think a lot of them have been answered at this point, because they know who he is. They've been following his trail of rampage. He led them to the exploded drug lab, because he called the lead detective on the phone and just held the phone up to the explosion.
Oh, right. Detective, I'd be like, man, this is going to make so much work for me.
Yeah, oh, Christ. I'm thinking of all the paperwork.
Sorry, just imagine having to deal with that guy and then getting a phone call from him and it's just an explosion.
Just a fucking deafening explosion.
What did you do? What did you do?
You hear in like outside as well as over the phone, like you can hear it outside in the distance. You're like, oh my God.
It just reminds me of like late at night when I hear my cat puking and I'm like, oh, where are you doing that? What's going on? Oh, I'm gonna have to deal with that in the morning.
Yeah. He hands the phone to one of the kids. He's just like, yeah, just hang on to that.
Yeah. So, and at the end, they show that he's kind of, they figured it out because they take him in the cop car. And then with the little girl, they're like, put her in the car with him.
Yeah.
To show that like, oh, okay. Which, I mean, honestly, if I was the cops, because there's like a dude with no eyes, there's people cut up. I don't care how good he is. I would have put him in fucking Hannibal Lecter gear. At that point, because you don't know his frame of mind.
Yeah,
I would have treated him like fucking Garland Green and Air Force One or not Air Force One, Con Air. But they're just like, he can hang out with the little girl.
Lay him down on a gurney and like tie a cinder block to each of his limbs. It's like, we want to make damn sure he can't move.
Yeah, I treat him like he's Houdini. I'd put him in a safe.
You treat him like he's a fucking velociraptor.
Yeah. But no, they're just like, you can have this little girl with you. It's like, don't do that. Although, on the flip side, maybe they're like, well, there's really nothing we can do to stop this man. He is basically a god. So if he wanted to kill us, he would have killed us already, so I guess let's just do what he says.
He really did slap the almighty fuck out of the entire police station. So.
Yeah. And, yeah, it kind of ends there. He buys the girl stuff, which is completing sort of an arc.
Yeah, a backpack full of stuff, which was, it was an arc. Like, she didn't have a bag, and she kept going to this one corner shop, and, of course, she couldn't buy anything there because she doesn't have any money.
Right.
So he buys her a great big book bag and stuffs it full of a whole bunch of shit from the store.
Yeah, and the implication is he's going to be her father, I guess.
Maybe. He says to her, "You're on your own now. You understand that? Like, because he's
right.
I think he believes he's going to prison for a very long time.
Right, and I feel like everybody believes that.
Yeah.
Again, he should be in Hannibal Lecter gear. The cops kind of like do him a solid by stopping, he's gotten arrested and he's like, "Hey, can we make a stop?" And they're like,
"Shh." So,
again, I feel like the cops are like, "Well, you could probably kill us all, so sure."
So yeah, so it's unclear because they do him a couple of favors where you're like, "Well, maybe they do sort of understand what's going on here and that."
Yeah.
You could argue that a lot of what he's done could possibly be construed as like,
I think,
well, you know, it's like the True Lies thing. It's like, did you ever kill anybody? It's like, well, yeah, but they were all bad.
Right. I think of it like the ending of The Fugitive where it's like, well, you're not free to go, but we sort of get it. Like, we get where you're coming from, but you're definitely not a free man.
Yeah.
We definitely did a lot of things.
That murder charge is going to go away, but there's some other things we have to talk about.
Yeah. Like, you have a lot of, fines, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of things to pay for, a lot of property damage, just a whole lot of questions. Found a dude with no eyes. We got to figure out what that was about.
I got to know what his deal is.
Yeah. But yeah, the point is that his rampage is over and he's just like, I can rest. I was going to blow my brains out, but I guess I'll go to jail.
Yeah. And he has a moment where he's like, he says, "I'm sorry. I pretended I didn't know you. I was worried that if I started to like you, then I would like you." And she's like, "That doesn't make any sense." And he's like, "Yeah, you're right, it doesn't."
Right.
And then he asks her if he can give her a hug, and he does, but he does it like he kneels down to hug her, and she comes running up to hug him while she's wearing a backpack. So it's like he's hugging her in a way that's like picking your kid up from school.
Right.
And he just starts fucking weeping, and that's how the movie ends. And it's like that sort of completes his arc because he's like, he's finally allowing himself to experience what it might have been like to actually have had that child.
Yes.
So maybe he won't go to prison for the rest of his life and he can adopt this kid, because otherwise she's kind of fucked.
Oh, yeah.
She's got no place to go.
Yeah. No, yeah. Or, someone better pick her up. I mean, yeah. I don't know, man.
I choose to believe that he's gonna get some probation, and that they will allow him to adopt her.
Yeah, I want to live in that world.
I want to live in that world too.
Yeah.
So that's the world I'm going to live in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fucking movie. It's,
man. This is sort of a weird episode where we didn't really talk much about the quality and technique of the movie so much as just like how awesome each individual part was.
Yeah, which I guess it's an action film, so I guess
we do that sometimes.
I don't have much to say about quality because it was just a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fun moments in it, and it's it's average plot done very, very well. I liked all the performances in it. I want to know more about this lead actor, this director. I got to look into this director's work. Mm-hmm. And I just looked him up, and he's done a good amount of stuff. So I don't know. It's just really nice to watch a movie that's fun and brutal, because it's definitely brutal. That's mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'll say is, you know, there's a lot of people who won't be able to sit through this film.
Yeah.
A lot of child murder.
Well, child endangerment. The murders happen off screen.
Yes, but it's still child
murder. That's true. The thematic. Yeah, that's true.
There's dead children in this. It's weird. Is that's what I like about this genre is that this movie isn't campy.
No.
It's not winky. But the action is over the top.
Yes.
But it's this weird balance of like, he's not, it's again, it's cliche and it's kind of silly because it's like, look at this badass. He fucked with the wrong guy. And there's going to be these like elaborate scenes and you kind of flinch. It's like John Wick where you're like, oh Jesus, you know, when something happens.
Yeah, or like The Night Comes for Us.
Yeah. But you definitely don't laugh when there's people who are victims. And they do a good job in that sense that the bad guys really seem bad and they take that seriously what they do.
Yes.
So
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. It's done better than say Taken, because Taken is also a group of bad guys who are doing very bad shit. But I feel like Taken also doesn't look
to
away.
To a degree, but they like in Taken, I remember laughing at the point where he finds his daughter's friend dead and like barely reacts to it, and they never mention her again.
You're right. It's that. The images of her daughter's friend dead is grisly, but his reaction to it doesn't work.
And the movie's reaction to it. Like I said, she is never mentioned again.
You're right. Whereas this, it feels more like there's weight to the deaths of these people when they happen. That's what it is that when the henchmen and the bad guys die, it's everywhere from who gives a shit to a joke.
Yeah.
When a lead, like when a victim dies, they give you enough that you feel it.
Well, yeah, we talked about the reveal of the mother's death.
Yeah, that's a huge reveal, and it's really well done.
Yeah.
So again, it's a cliche plot being done very well.
Yes. They're threatening to make an American version of this movie, and I hope they don't.
Yeah, they don't need to. Everybody should
just watch this one.
Just watch this one. If this is your kind of jam, it's not. You don't leave it feeling depressed.
No, it's very bittersweet ending.
Yeah, and it's a fun action movie done very well.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw it. I'm curious about this director.
Me too. I wasn't sure. I was kind of like, oh, okay, it's another. I was a little bit bummed at it being a foreign film because, like we mentioned at the top of the podcast, you really have to pay attention when a movie's subtitled, or else you know you're not going to know what the hell's going on. But that wound up like within 5 minutes, it was like, oh, that won't be a problem.
Yeah,
this movie is captivating.
Yeah, I saw this movie had really good reviews too, so it was like, oh, okay, I have a feeling this is going to be really good. Because everything about it, in terms of like, when you look at the poster art and stuff, it kind of looks like it's could get lost in the crowd
of
like foreign action films. Because but it's, especially since the action isn't particularly awesome. Or it's not awesome. It's not like The Raid where you're like, the choreography is amazing. It's actually
the knife fight's good.
But the knife fight's good. Yeah,
most of it is just very. I mean, it's brutal, but it's very like utilitarian. You know, he's just like he's dispatching people as quickly as possible.
Yeah, a lot of gunfights. It reminds me of like a Liam Neeson thing, where it's like it didn't feel like an actor who might have known how to fight. You know, like this could
maybe
have been...
I don't know. He handles the knife fighting stuff pretty well, it's hard to say.
Or like a Jason Statham or like a Vin Diesel, where it's like, it's not about how cool are these fights. And so you think when you take that away, because again, the fights aren't bad, but they're not particularly impressive. When you take that away, you think like, well, what is there left? And for some reason, the plot was compelling enough that the action didn't need to be elaborate.
Right.
And it was all still very brutal.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, this kept my attention fully throughout.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah.
We got a good movie here.
Hey, folks. Hey, fella, we got a good movie over here.
As we did at the top of this, I would like to thank Vivian, our Patreon subscriber.
Thank you, Vivian.
Yeah, thank you for making us watch this movie, because we quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really good. I've already recommended it to a few people.
Nice. You
gotta watch this fucking movie.
You're paying it forward. You're paying that shit forward.
That's right. Now I'm gonna go get hit by a bus like Haley Joel.
Haley Joel, spoilers for Pay It Forward.
For Pay It Forward.
Remember Pay It Forward? Because I barely
did. No, he doesn't get hit by
it.
He gets stabbed.
He gets stabbed.
He gets I'm thinking of City of Angels.
Oh,
he gets stabbed.
He gets fucking stabbed. Haley Joel gets fucking stabbed in that movie. Shanked. Like someone who would be in this movie.
This is not 2019 Haley Joel. This is 2000 Haley Joel. Yeah. This is like 8-year-old Haley Joel.
Yeah. Getting fucking shanked. We're still talking about dead kids. I do want to mention you mentioned City of Angels. That's the funniest. Because spoilers for City of Angels, Meg Ryan is riding her bike and she's so in love that she closes her eyes while riding and gets hit by a fucking bus.
Assassinated by a... by a city bus.
Yeah, and it's hilarious to me that the filmmakers thought we would sympathize with that situation ever, because I was like, well, don't fucking close your eyes, Meg Ryan. The hell? Nicolas Cage gave up being an angel for you, Meg Ryan. Be safe when you're riding your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Protect yourself.
Protect yourself. Getting meat joke blacked all over the place.
Another all-time classic.
Oh, yeah. So many. Oh, I don't know how we got to this. Haley Joel Osment getting stabbed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Vivian.
Thanks, Vivian. Yeah, let's be done. Let's be done.
Okay. Well, I got to plug our Patreon because that's what this is through. Folks, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman. Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We also have the tier that gave you this episode is there. We have a new tier, a 25 tier, where you become a Hypecast producer. You get an exclusive mug. We're also sending out, like every few months, we'll send you like letters and stickers in the mail and shit with that tier. So that's fun. I got a stamps.com account.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
They do not sponsor the podcast.
No, but I sponsor them by paying them. And since they don't sponsor us, Tom, I got to tell you, kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. No, I'm not surprised. Most of these services are. We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, aforementioned stickers and mugs, prints, all kinds of stuff. That is ours that can now become yours and live in your house with you. We'll be adding stuff pretty regularly.
Yeah.
So hopefully, check that shit out.
Hopefully a shirt of Haley Joel getting shanked.
Yeah.
It's just, child murder is not funny, but Haley Joel.
But that child murder is funny.
Well, because he's so precious. He's such a, you know,
and it's
child
so
actors.
Unexpected.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's so mean to just stab.
It's just the most
like
over
the
top. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Jesus, Haley Joel, are you okay?
What's happening?
God, you're not. Oh,
Why is this happening?
Why am I watching this movie? It just wants to hurt me.